Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Future increases in the national minimum wage for workers, minimum pay for workers, to bring about a planned living wage could be put back as the government tries to concentrate on boosting competitiveness. This, of course, is in light of the rising international trade tensions. Spokesperson on workers' rights with the Labour Party, Nessa Cosgrove, is with me on the line today. Is this necessary, Nessa, given the current state of, well, the situation in the US?
Hi, Andrea. Absolutely not. You know, I think it's predictable, and I think it's predictable of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to roll back on essential, you know, essential standards of work for workers and workers' rights. I actually think it's essential that it's we move towards a living wage, because if people, you know, more money that people have, they will spend it locally. They'll keep it in there. It'll keep it in local economies. And I represent a rural constituency. And I know you can't spend it if you don't earn it. So I would think I just think it's kind of another reason of this government and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael over the last, I suppose, the last consecutive governments, is just another way of hammering low-pay workers.
Well, this time last year, nobody could have envisaged the situation we're in between Trump in power, trade tariffs, talk of more, Europe's reaction to it. Nobody could have seen that this time last year.
No, it is absolutely that we're living in a very, I suppose, very changeable world, and it's very unpredictable. But this, I think, is irresponsible. I think that low-pay workers need to, there's 195,000 low-pay workers in Ireland which need to be protected. And like we know, I suppose, in times of recession, people on low pay, they spend money of necessity. You know, it's out of necessity they spend money. They don't save. It's people on higher wages that save money. So it's essential to keep local economies going, is to ensure that people have enough money in their pockets that they're able to spend. And I think there was a low pay commission was set up by the Labour Party 10 years ago. And it wasn't just workers, you know, it wasn't just employees. It was employers. It was made up of, you know, independent panelists and independent researchers to show that exactly my argument, that for people to live, I suppose, a socially acceptable standard of living, which in the long run is better off for everyone, that we need to move towards a living wage. And I think more than ever, it's important.
Yeah. So just to sort of remind listeners, I suppose, Nessa, my memory of this was that from January, the minimum wage was set at €13.50 an hour. And the idea was that there wouldn't be further increases to allow for this living wage to come in from about next year, from about 2026. But now, given the current situation globally, that's unlikely to happen.
And it's disappointing. I think it's an example of, it's the government, you know, rowing back again. And it's Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael again. I mean, this is, you know, it's not the first time that they've rowed back on workers' rights and worker, you know, and it's really to hammer low pay workers again. It's looking, I suppose, they've rowed back this week as well on sick pay. You know, like, we're not in line with our European neighbours here about their level of statutory sick pay. Like, it was agreed again that there, and this was promises made in the government before the government was formed, that there'd be another 2 days additional sick pay for statutory sick pay. So we know that there's a lot of people going into work that are unwell. And it's also, again, further, there's delays going to be put into the auto enrolment pension scheme as well. So I just think that it's economically, I think, irresponsible, and I think it's essential that we actually ensure that we move to the living wage.
Stay with us, Nessa, for a few moments. I've part owner of the Herlihy Centra Group, Kevin Herlihy's with us on the line today. You're a business owner. You're employing probably a lot of people that might be entitled to this potential living wage, Kevin. Do you welcome this, or how do you feel about it?
Hi, Andrea. Thanks very much for having me on. I actually would certainly agree with the government that this has been to be delayed. It's clear that NASA is representing low-paid workers, and I commend that, but she's not living in the real world at all. What's happening to small to medium enterprises throughout Ireland, be they in retail, hospitality or whatever, is that we are getting hammered left, right and centre by all the new legislation that has come in since 2022. For example, the pension auto-enrolment scheme, the sick pay scheme, the minimum wage scheme, which we're talking about today, and even things like the DRS, which is the recycled bottles, that cost my company €60,000 to install those machines. So, like, we're like a boxer inside in a boxing ring with their hands tied behind their back. And even just to put it in perspective, Leo Varadkar introduced a bank holiday after COVID, and that, you know, who's paying the staff the bank holiday pay? We are, the owners of the business, and at my company that cost us 43,000 euros.
This is for the February bank holiday that we had 2 months
exactly.
ago. But 40 grand for you.
Yes, exactly. When everybody sits at home and looks at the wall because the weather is so bad. I mean, but anyway, that's another day's argument. But I just think that the suspension of this or the delay of this is very, very much welcomed by SMEs, because we are really, really up against it. And particularly what's happening now in America and all the international wars, etc. It's very, very cagey times. So as a business owner, I would certainly welcome it.
Yeah. So you're paying what, $13.50 an hour, Kevin, at a minimum? Well, to
our staff on minimum wage are $13.50 an hour. But if you take that into perspective, that actually works out about $18.50 an hour, because when you take holiday pay, bank holiday pay, employers, PRSI, etc.
So
it works out for every. Yeah, exactly. So every person that's working for us, even though this, you know, it's on the paper, it's saying $13.50, it's actually costing us $18.50. And this then goes into, unfortunately, the reason for all the inflation and the you know, everyone's given out about the expensive prices now, and that's one of the reasons. So I think that it's really, really welcome that Jack Chambers has come out with this. And I know that there's obviously arguments against it, and you know, but I suppose that's just coming from my side, you know.
Yeah, stay with us, Kevin, too, if you don't mind, for another few moments. I want to bring in Robert Thornton. Robert's a member of the Living Wage Technical Group. What's your reaction to this? Well, it's not scrapped. I suppose it's a sort of a pause, Robert, if you want to call it that.
Yes. So in the Living Wage Technical Group, we've been producing a reference figure on what the actual cost of living is for low-paid workers since 2014. And then we calculate, and it's based on research and evidence, and we calculate the wage that would be needed to meet that cost. So for this year, we estimate that wage would need to be $14.75 an hour. So that's already above the current minimum wage of $13.50. And the government, the last government's commitment to introduce this national living wage wasn't based on actual living costs. It's based on trying to bring the minimum wage to 60% of median earnings. So that's like the halfway point between the bottom and the top earner. So 60% of that. And that they estimated to be $13.90 this year. So again, below the current minimum wage, and rising to maybe $14.45 next year based on the data they had available when they produced their last report.
It's actually not, if we had this national living wage, Robert, right around the country, it's not a huge amount more than the current minimum wage.
No, and it shows that there has been progress made. So they estimate that they were getting close to this 6% goal, because it was a goal that was committed to by the last government. It was also committed to in the government's roadmap for social inclusion, which sets out a range of commitments and strategies to reduce poverty and improve living standards across the country. And that the new government has continued that roadmap. I was actually attended a meeting with the minister about it last week, and it's been discussed, and the living wage commitment remains as an ongoing commitment in the roadmap. But it shows that it's not a huge increase for your right to talk about, but for people on low pay, it's a significant increase. Mm. And people on low pay, the research and evidence we use to calculate the actual living wage rate to what's currently $14.75 an hour, that tracks the cost of basic things like...
Well, it's around the figures you've mentioned. It's what? It's about 50, 55 cent extra an hour.
It would be 95 cents extra an hour to get to the 60% recommendation that the government had committed to, yes, which would be $14.45 an hour.
Yeah, and I'm curious, Lauren Jones Brennan is with me on the line today. Lauren, what sort of an impact would that 95 cents have for you and your other colleagues?
Thank you so much for welcoming me on air, Andrea. It would have such a great impact. I am a young person working hard, contributing to the economy, and constantly upskilling, and this announcement it's very disappointing. I think it's important to recognize that the minimum wage hasn't kept up with the cost of living, and age discrimination still quietly shapes who gets hired, how much we're paid, and who's taken seriously in the workplace. Young people especially, they're paid less than minimum wage based on age, and it would have a significant impact, especially as I'm seeing more and more of my friends emigrating. And I think it really puts to us, you know, the choice. And it's something I'm kind of facing into myself, and whether we stay and struggle or whether we emigrate. I mean, I'm currently working for a Dutch company, and I'm doing the same kind of hours that I would do here in Ireland. But I'm being paid to give significantly more, and I'm being treated with far more respect. And, you know, that contrast is quite hard to ignore. You know, as a young person, I don't want to leave, and I want to contribute here and like build here and stay here.
Yeah.
But, you know, how do we justify that when we're paid less and overlooked because of our age and treated as if wanting fair pay is somehow unreasonable? But yeah, of course, and I've seen people like Kevin speak out against increasing the minimum wage, warning about the, you know, the pressures on small businesses. And look, I don't deny that businesses face challenges, but, you know, it can't come at the expense of people's basic dignity. And, you know, yeah, I don't know. I'm really tired of young people being made to feel like expecting better is a burden on the system. Yeah, when we're the system's future. And, you know, we're at a crossroads, young people, I feel. We don't want to give up on this country. You know, it is about sustainability and investing in the future of Ireland. But, you know, later is too late. We won't be here.
Kevin, look, I know that's something that you can't solve, but just when you take into account the figures that Robert has mentioned, that, you know, that sort of 90, 95 cent per staff member, per employee, per hour as part of this living wage, like, I'm sure you've been crunching the numbers. What would that mean for you guys?
Well, what it means in general is that we have to cut back on the service that we're providing as a store. So perhaps we might have to close our deli counters earlier. You know, we might curtail our opening hours and so on. That's one thing that we would have done in one of our stores. You know, and that's part of it. And that's cutting hours then. Like, so if you take a shop that might run at, say, 450 hours a week, if the minimum wage goes up by whatever it is, 95 cent or euro, we've got to try and find that euro, be it by cutting hours, increasing prices, and so on. It's not stuff that we like doing. And I'm talking not just for myself, I'm talking about all the convenience stores in the country, and publicans and hotels, etc., and other businesses. So, you know, we have to find it somewhere, because at the end of the day, you know, we have bills to pay, we have suppliers to pay, and we have staff to pay, and we're very happy, and we have a fantastic team of 300 people working within our company. So, you know, we really, really value them as much as we can. But I suppose that's the only way that we can do it. It has to come from somewhere, you know?
Yeah. Nessa, there's a lot of people getting in touch today on WhatsApp making the point that their one concern, while the idea of a living wage sounds great, is that as a result of that, the price of goods and everything else is going to go up with it.
Well, I think, I mean, the cost of living, people are struggling as it is. So I suppose the minimum wage is the very minimum that people are living in. So the living wage is that it'll be socially acceptable. So, you know, to actually live, that you've got a life outside just working. And a lot of people, that is the reality for a lot of people and no-pay workers. They're just living, they're working just to live, just to survive. So, like, the cost of living, we know that there is a high cost of living in, you know, in food. And how, I suppose housing is coming to the, is probably the crux of this matter as well, is the ever-rising rents and the ever-rising cost of house prices. So for people like your previous speaker, and I have to commend her because she is representing such an amount of young people.
Lauren,
that
I
hear Lauren all the time, that are leaving because they just can't afford to live here. First of all, they're not paying a decent wage, just like she outlined so well, because of age discrimination, which we in the Labour Party have been trying to, you know, bring legislation forward about this, that there shouldn't be, you shouldn't be paid less because of your age. But also that the, I suppose housing, the house, the cost price of rent is too high. So I can see that, like, I mean, people like Lauren have to be listened to. She is we are an ageing population. We have to listen. If we want to keep young people here, we have to pray them in a proper and decent manner that they'd want to stay here.
Interesting text from Tommy, who says he's a bar and a restaurant owner in Cork. He says the latest increases in minimum wage has increased all hourly pay. This is directly related to recent inflation levels. Ireland has become an expensive country because small businesses have had no choice but to increase prices. The SMEs are getting hammered. $13.50 an hour is a good rate for staff compared to other European countries. Stephen Cork, he says an employer that can't afford to pay a living wage shouldn't be in business. Orla in Dublin tells me that she feels the living wage is great as long as businesses can afford to pay it. If there's no small businesses, there's no jobs to pay the living wage. Ideology is great, but you have to be able to sustain the costs over the long term. Email us lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. That's Nessa Cosgrove from the Labour Party, Kevin Herlihy there from the Centre Group, Robert Thornton from the Living Wage Technical Group, and Lauren Jones Brennan. Thanks a million, Lauren, for getting in touch with us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.